is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Hi. Today I want to talk to you about how wonderful some of these real, traditional, real foods are on our Thanksgiving table. You know, I'm talking about the real foods that used to be the traditions and not the traditions that people like me, who are grandparents, might think of, you know, because we were kids in the 60s, and whatever was being sold on television, you know, became the stock and trade of our mother's new recipes, and that became traditions. But did you ever look in those ingredients? Oh, my goodness. I'm really tempted to say some of the jingles then, but I don't want to get sued. But today, think about what some of your friends or maybe relatives are saying. And, you know, think about if they were telling the truth. And unfortunately, their words may be telling the truth. You know, it's like pushers. They say, oh, well, I'm going to be sure and kick up your sweet tooth. Oh, well, just apply these directly to your hips. Or, you know, you can't do anything about your health. So, no, let's talk about the real goodness that God gave us in these traditional foods. What should be traditional foods? Like the pumpkin. Did you go out to the pumpkin patch this fall? Did you have some good fun? Well, you know, it's time for pumpkin pie now. And yes, the pumpkin that you used for Halloween might not be so great for pie. You know, there are two different kinds of pumpkins. Yeah, well, that's why if you tried it, it didn't come out like the pumpkin in a can. All right, well, yes, I'll admit I use pumpkin in a can and organic when I can get it. But let me tell you how great pumpkin is. Pumpkin is just chock full of all kinds of stuff. Alpha and beta carotene. Okay, what is that? Well, we used to call it vitamin A. These carotenoids, they have all kinds of antioxidant properties that they scavenge free radicals, so they take the trash out of the body, and they improve immune system. When I looked up to find out more about alpha and beta carotene, number one, alpha carotene was said it lowers the risk of death. Well, okay, good. Yes, so we need all of these vitamins in our body. Vitamin A. We used to talk about vision, right? Well, in fact, lutein and zeaxanthin that people are buying now in supplements, right there in the pumpkin. It has B vitamins for brains and nerves. Yes, for building them, and yes, for keeping them. It has copper, manganese, potassium. Now, I remember potassium because when I was in the hospital, the doctor gave me potassium that long time ago to drink to kill the pain. Well, the drink was really bad. But anyway, you can eat your pumpkin. There's potassium in bananas too. But pumpkin, so great. And of course, you're probably going to make it in a pie. You can mix eggs and milk and spices. Wow, I'll tell you about those spices in a minute. But if your family doesn't do so well with milk, you can use one of the other milk substitutes, almond milk or soy milk or oat milk. And I even have a recipe that uses tofu. Of course, that's a completely different recipe. It's not just a substitution. And for pumpkin pie, when I make it, I use whole wheat pastry flour, organic whole wheat pastry flour, because I can get that at the market. And butter, real butter. God made real butter, and in moderate quantities, butter is fine. But not margarine. Margarine is that trans fat that you've been hearing about. That's the fake fat that's putting plastic in your, or like putting plastic in your heart. And even though your children aren't considering heart problems today, don't give them trans fats. Real butter. Now, if you want to stay away from that, then you can make pumpkin pie without the crust. And I guess technically that's pudding. But we think about pudding in the United States today a little different. Yeah, pudding is a technical term, and I guess it means anything in a bowl. Yeah, well, like hasty pudding. Like in olden times, when a cook didn't have time to make a cake, she would hastily put in a couple of cups of flour and some milk and sugar and salt and spices and fruit and mix that all up and bake it all together in the bowl she mixed it in and called it hasty pudding. Yeah, so now you've learned something you could use on that non-holiday time. Pumpkin pie, that's what we're talking about. And those spices are really great. Cinnamon regulates the blood sugar, and nutmeg improves the concentration and promotes sleep, and a little bit can calm the stomach, but too much would make you nauseous. So you're not feeding nutmeg and a spoon anyway. Although some people do eat cinnamon in tablets for the blood sugar effects. But the nutmeg reduces anxiety and calms people down. And so, hey, that might be just great for the evenings. Pumpkin pie to calm the kids down, you bet, without too much sugar. Now, when I make it for me, I just put applesauce. I substitute the applesauce for the sweetener. But, you know, if I'm taking it to a party, I do put some sugar in. You can manage that for yourself to your taste, and don't use any more than you have to, right? And so the tofu recipe uses honey with it. Anyway, experiment. Try it out, and don't use more than you need. And sugar and salt are kind of imposing taste that once you get some, then you expect more and more and more. So cut back on it and taste the pumpkin instead of the sweetener. And I sure don't want to buy pumpkin pies already made. You see what's in there. There's white flour and trans fats in the crust, and there's a whole lot of corn syrup in the mix, and corn syrup is probably your, well, it's a very dangerous sweetener. So I would, why do I say that? Well, this is what I know, that a lecturer who's a professor at University of Texas in the Plan 2 had a student to do a research project, and she came up with a finding reported to me that corn syrup, same thing as high fructose corn syrup, right? Same thing. Was the most carcinogenic substance known. Well, okay, that's my citation. But anyway, I'm allergic to it. I don't think it's the best, but you can use some sort of sweetener in your pumpkin pie. I use applesauce. Well, sure, you could use stevia, or you could use agave nectar. Agave nectar is a product that's been out a few years, and it's liquid like honey, and it's very low on the glycemic index. Low on the glycemic index. So this is the list of substances like sweeteners, how sweet they are. And so it's really helpful. So the agave nectar won't bother you like some of the other sweeteners. And talk about the glycemic index. The potato is higher than sugar on the glycemic index. I know that's amazing because potatoes aren't sweet. I know, but the potato starch goes right into your bloodstream like sugar. So I seldom eat potatoes. I really like potatoes once in a while, but seldom eat them, and I would never, ever, ever make potatoes out of a box. Oh my gosh. In the first place, they taste terrible, in my opinion. But did you ever look on the ingredients? No, no, no. Potatoes, real potatoes. But in holiday time, wow. In fact, not just holiday time, sweet potatoes, outstanding nutrition. In fact, They're one of the most nutritional things around. Sweet potatoes. Yeah. You know, they are very high in calcium. Yeah. Calcium. Now, I know you know that calcium is needed for bones and teeth. Did you know it also needed for muscles? So that muscles don't get cramps. You know, when we were kids, sometimes we would wake up in the middle of the night crying because our legs hurt so much. Our calves were cramping. And we were told, well, that's just growing pains. Actually, that was calcium deficiency. Yeah. And of course, in those days, mothers depended on milk for the calcium source, which seemed normal because, of course, milk has calcium in it. But because it was commercial milk, it was processed and pasteurized, and it was the pasteurizing, it makes that calcium not very available. So often people are not getting the calcium they think they're getting. And some of the highest foods in calcium that is available is sweet potatoes and collard greens and black-eyed peas. And black beans. Black beans and collard greens, very high in calcium, and the sweet potatoes have some. But sweet potatoes have a whole lot of other good things, just like with the pumpkins. They have the alpha and beta carotene. They have, the zeaxanthin and the lutein for good high health. They've got B vitamins, minerals, copper, manganese, potassium. We talked about potassium. And and they have some vitamin C. Now, don't glop them up with a bunch of terrible candy stuff or these fake marshmallows. No. What I do is I just boil them, not quite boil, and a little more than steam. So I put enough water in there so that when they're finished, they're not all limp and the water's almost gone, and try not to burn the pot. But anyway, halfway between boil and steam, cook those sweet potatoes. And then I take them out and I just take off the skins. They're pretty easy to do when they're just boiled. And then I mash them up, put butter, decorate them with the best pecans, and you got it. Now that's how I do it. And for every day, I just scrub the skins, throw them in the oven, and serve them, cut them in half, and put butter with them. And hey, I think that's a treat. Sweet potato jam, same thing. That is so much more healthy than potatoes. And of course, perish the thought, box potatoes. And I like it a lot better than sugary stuff. Now, I have got some friends who put the spices on their sweet potatoes. Put cinnamon and so forth on the sweet potatoes. And you could try that and see if you like that. And of course, I have some friends who make pie out of them. But my sweet potatoes are long gone before I ever would get around to making pie. Oh, yeah. So it is so worth cooking for your family. It's so worth it because you are really, really feeding them. You know, lower mortality rates is what I'm finding. But you just have to know, if this is food like God made it. This is real and it's yummy. And this is the kind of family tradition that you want to have. Okay, what about that tired green bean casserole? Course, made with some commercial ingredients. What is in there? How about trying, instead of, and there's nothing wrong with green beans themselves, of course, but how about trying Brussels sprouts? Miniature cabbages. Hey, wouldn't the kids get a kick out of that? Now, you're going to have to cook it the right amount. Enough so it's not too chewy, and not so much that it's a bunch of mush. But you know, Brussels sprouts have acetylcholine in them, one of the most important things for good cognitive skills and for heart health. It's kind of good that the same thing is good for both, isn't it? Brussels sprouts, hey. And of course, you've got the green leafy vegetables. So just like any of the cruciferous. Okay, so that's the family that the broccoli and the cabbage and the Brussels sprouts belong to. And you want enough of that dark green vegetables as the alpha carotene. That, you remember that lowers death. But hey, your kids are going to want to play with these miniature cabbages. Now, for your smaller kids, you're going to need to cut them up maybe. You want to be sure they're not a choking hazard, but high in fiber, potassium, also calcium. And you can try, besides just boiling them, you can dry roast them. You can saute them maybe with some sliced blanched almonds, maybe with a little onion, and you're going to have a great time. And broccoli. Now, broccoli has GABA that reduces anxiety, as well as some of those other things, the alpha carotenes. You know, what we do is when I have boiled broccoli spears, or steamed, then I cut up or grate cheese and serve that. Now, I know the traditional thing is cheese sauce, but I'm a little busy. Just make it cheese and have it a little melty on there. And for guests, I use the orange cheese. But for me and the family, I use the raw, the organic, sharp cheese, which, of course, is not orange because milk is not orange, right? So we do without the dye. But anyway, broccoli. And then I have this other thing. Woo! It's a new recipe for me. Broccoli salad. So I cut the little florets real small, and I put in cranberries, dried cranberries that I reconstitute, but you could put fresh cranberries if you had them, and sliced up jimica. You could use water chestnuts and what else? Red onions, and you could put some other stuff, and mandarin oranges, and then I use the juice from the mandarin oranges with a little bit of apple cider vinegar for dressing. It's great. I'm getting compliments at the parties for it. So broccoli salad, really healthy. But once again, you're going to have to chop this up really little for little teeth. My daughter's so great. My grandsons love salad. Always have salad every day, at least once a day. And the reason I like it so much is because my daughter chops it really fine. That's the thing. Oh, yes, she sits there. Chop, chop, chop. As well, I guess I could increase my patience. All right, anything to get my kids to eat salad. And wow, they're healthy. And they can see, they can think. And cranberries, vitamin C, of course, carotenoids again. You know, we all know that cranberries are good for urinary problems. There's no evidence that it's directly good for antioxidants, but the bodies that have these beta carotene carotenoids in seem to do well, and we think it's because of the uric acid. Okay, so stuff is leaving the body, all the trash is leaving. And so cranberries, you know, you don't have to have that ooky cranberry sauce. Well, I think it's ooky cranberry aspic. Ugh. No, I want real cranberries in my muffins, on my cereals. Can stew them with applesauce and use them instead of that old sauce that get glopped up and I think it tastes terrible. Well, yeah, because I'm not used to all that high concentrated of corn syrup, right? But real cranberries, like them lots of ways. And here's a new idea for my family, pomegranates. Of course, pomegranates is a holiday food for people from the Middle East. Very, very healthful. Antioxidants, anti-inflammatories. Great for the blood vessels, nervous systems, eyes. Inhibits the growth of tumors. I am reading. And people just eat it like a treat. Sit there and visit and eat it. Or they also can make sauces and so forth. Add seeds to green salads, fruits, oatmeal, batter spreads, and so forth. So that's on my do list, is to try pomegranate. You know, there were pomegranates and bells on the high priest's skirt. And so it's got to be special. So we gotta try out pomegranates. And of course, oranges are a tradition. And we always had an orange in the toe of the stocking. It made the stocking look good. And back in those days, I didn't think so much of it. When I lived way up north, then oranges were very special at Christmas time. Very good treat because we weren't getting fruit locally. So whether it's Satsuma or the Seville or the Clementine tangerines, I think that's a great tradition, is giving oranges. And today we remember that in song about how that's all we got. But no, it's a widespread holiday tradition. Get oranges, and that's good stuff. Good treats. Lots of oranges and maybe a little chocolate. Yeah, woohoo! Yeah, dark chocolate with 60% or more cocoa content, consumed in small quantities, like 1 or 2 ounces. That's very good for you. It has flavonoids for your heart and reduces blood clots and sharpens mental health. Can I tell you what a flavonoid is? I know they're ubiquitous in food, and my research indicates they reduce allergies, viruses, cancers, and like some of the antioxidants, they seem to increase uric acid flow. So even though they're not antioxidants, it seems to have that sort of effect on the body. Well, I don't understand all of that, but chocolate is good for you in small quantities. Of course, you wouldn't want to eat too much because you're eating too much fat and sugar. But I will put up a link to a good book or two on this sort of thing. And, you know, when I was in graduate school the first time around, actually, I took some graduate courses before I went to undergraduate because I was so keen on studying theology and biblical hermeneutics. Anyway, a tip that was passed around there was that you could eat chocolate. If your brain chemistry was just kaput because you were studying so much, take a break. All right. You've studied, you know, 9 hours straight for your finals and you need a break. Go and have some chocolate ice cream. Do that once. I don't know. You better watch your sugar content so you don't have up and down highs. But anyway, the chocolate seems to be good for those mental chemicals. Hey, nuts. Yeah, you can go nuts for nuts. And I would put a bowl of nuts out or several different bowls instead of bowls of candy. Hey, because you know nuts are good. Get some good organic nuts and you've got some healthful protein balanced with all kind of good stuff, high in fibers, monounsaturated fat that protects heart health. And you can use them lots of ways. Nuts and seeds can go in your salad, in your breads, on your cereals, and you can eat them straight. And hey, that's a great holiday tradition. It's a holiday tradition among the Jewish families, I understand. And once again, you're going to have to be sure they're chopped fine or even ground for children. We had one of my favorite treats that my mother made. She would grind up pecans and put just a little butter and just a little bit of powdered sugar and roll them up into balls, like little, the shape of maybe little Easter eggs, and the you know, the small chocolate eggs that size. And oh wow, very short, they were just wonderful pecan cookies. And do buy some pecans and some almonds, some of these really great nuts for your children, and don't confine them only to peanuts. And walnuts are a cheaper alternative in a lot of your baking, but they're a little more bitter. And your children, you know, children have very sensitive taste buds, so they like the blander foods. Blander. And whereas we who are older like, you know, sharper tastes, and we like the hot foods. So much I want to talk to you about, and we're already running out of time. So enjoy your holiday feasts, and know that just as you are feasting your family traditions, you're feasting those kids' bodies and brains and your emotions too. God has made good things, and we may eat what God has made. The rest, not so sure about. Okay? So we commend you to the table of the Lord in more ways than one. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, Father. Thank you that you call us your children, that you call yourself Father. Huge honor. And Lord, I come with mothers who have tender hearts for their children. We pray for the blessing to come on their household. Healing, prosperity, success, mental understanding, open minds, right thinking, love in those households. Thank you for your love that reaches out to us, that saves us, that rescues us, that redeems us, that remakes us into your image and glory. Wow. Thank you for it all. And so I bless you in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. I bless you with health, healing, wholeness, success, prosperity. In the mighty, matchless, most powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
By all means, do come to the website at www.greatshalom.org. Great like big, shalom is shalom.org. And you'll find many resources there, from articles, archived broadcasts, podcast subscription, and you may even leave some of your own opinions. Rate us, if you will. Tell your friends about us. And let us know that you are participating in this good news that God wants total well-being for all children.
Celebrate the victory. Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.